Welcome to the RV Rental Secrets Podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Max, and I'm thrilled to guide you through the journey of launching, growing, and managing a profitable RV rental business.
Welcome to the RV Rental Secret Podcast. Today we have Dathan Black from Fireside RV Rental in Huntsville, Alabama. Welcome, Dathan.
How are you, Stacey?
Very good. Thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Glad to help.
So can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your business?
Well, my name is Dathan Black. My wife and I do this. Not so much my wife right now, but she's transitioning to being able to help me out. She's been going to school full time to get her accounting degree because she doesn't like my method of doing books. But as soon as she's done with school this coming December, she's going to be joining us full time. And I'm in the process of going full time and retiring from the fire service after 27 years. But we started with Fireside, formerly the Camper Connection, in June of 2018, I believe. So we've seen a lot of growth with the company and tons of growth with our business. It's been absolutely amazing to grow this business part-time when I work 60 hours a week at the fire station to a six-figure income on the side with maybe 10 to 20 hours of actual work a week. It's almost unheard of. So we absolutely love it. We love where it's growing, and we're seeing a exponential growth in 2024, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that's amazing. And how many units do you currently have in your fleet?
The wonderful question. I think today, because we got a couple new ones this week, but I haven't had time to list them, but I think we're at 39.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's a good problem to have that you have so many, you don't even know how many you have exactly.
Well, yeah. You know, I want to be totally clear too. In this business, it fluctuates, right? We'll go down 5 or 6, up 5 or 6, sometimes 10, up 10. So it's constantly going up and down based on our consigned owner's needs and life changes and stuff like that. But yeah, it's not to discourage anybody. It's just to let people know that this is part of the business. So prepare yourself for it. But yeah, we started with one unit in 2018, and here we are, 2024.
Wow. Almost 40. How many of those units are owned by you versus that are just managed by you?
One is co-owned with my brother and I, and then we own 2 units, and then we're doing an owner finance this year on another one. So technically 4.
Okay, so the majority of them are RVs that you're renting out for other people.
Absolutely, yeah.
Awesome. Now, I know you had mentioned that you were kind of running the business part-time because you and your wife both have full-time jobs. What employees did you have in place to help assisting you in such a large fleet?
Yeah, so that's where we had to get really smart, I would say, in the last year and a half, because honestly, it was us doing everything. And I don't recommend doing that unless you're going to sit around the 10 unit mark. But if you're going to scale this business properly, you've got to be able to push yourself outside of doing day-to-day operations and outsourcing that to good people that you trust and can hire. So for us, one of the biggest things that freed up the majority of my time was hiring somebody to do all the cleaning. Luckily, she's my next door neighbor, and she loves what I pay her. I basically pay her $40 a unit. And so they get cleaned and prepped every time before they go out on a rental. So she knows to make sure the toilet paper's in there, the toilet tabs, everything's on the up and up, fridges are cleaned out. And if there's any extra little things that the renter may need or want in there, then she goes ahead and goes over the notes that I set up for her, gets it all done. And I don't have to go back tracking behind her and, you know, white glove things. Very rarely does she miss anything. So that's been a huge blessing to our business because that eats a lot of time. As far as other employees, I've got a couple of young high school kids that I pay $10 an hour. They get to use my pressure washer and all my cleaning supplies. One of our other owners sells commercial cleaning products for detail shops. So I get a lot of help that way. And so I use those 2 kids to basically clean the outsides of all the units periodically. That helps us keep the outsides clean and keeps the roofs and stuff clean. And then I've got pretty much about 5 reliable drivers all the time. I can scale that up to 8 to 10 as needed. But for the most part, the 5 that I have, majority of them are, 2 of them are retired firefighters that used to work for me. And then the other 3 are also current firefighters. And so it works off their schedule at the fire department. They're 48 hours on, 48 hours off. It works out usually really well for the weekends. So basically, if we've got weekend events, one guy may be delivering down to a place and the other guy that's coming off of shift when the event is over, we'll go pick them up. So it works out really well. I highly recommend getting off-duty firefighters and police officers to help with your delivery driving.
That's a great tip. I know a lot of people often say they have trouble finding reliable drivers. So if they look in those areas, hopefully that'll help them out.
Yep. And part of finding reliable anybody, you got to pay them well. It's part of the business. You know, it eats at your bottom line, but you, what I get out of that from reliability is so massive. Like, all of my drivers are trained the way that I wanted them to be. So I had complete control of that, which is nice. They don't just drop and go unless I need them to, but they are required to drop trailers, level them, set them all up, get all the systems working, double check and make sure everything's working properly for the customer before they arrive, or if they show up, you know, and meet them at a location. So they know to do that. And that's a huge, huge help to us. And then on the return, they're also responsible for flushing the tanks and making sure that the freshwater tanks are drained and the grain blacks are completely flushed and emptied before they come back. So I know a lot of other franchises don't do that. I recommend that they do, because that puts everything back at a starting point for that next rental. It just saves time. The whole thing about getting good at this business is figuring out where your efficiencies are and nailing that down, you know, even to the minute detail, really makes a big difference in the long run in time management and also in profit.
Yeah, definitely. I found out after my first year that for our cleaners, we started having them come as soon as the unit came back instead of before the rental, because again, that way everything gets clean and it's ready to go right out the next day. So just having those processes in place can be really helpful.
Yeah, so that's funny you say that. I was doing that. However, my storage facility is a dirty, dusty gravel parking area. And what was happening is if I didn't have rentals going back to back out within a week, all the countertops and everything were getting dusty.
Oh, yeah.
And so for me, I was paying twice the cleaning fee. So that's why I really harp on the renter. That, hey, you know, we're giving this to you prepped. I mean, it still smells like, you know, fresh when they receive it. And we're real big about saying, hey, return it the way you found it, please. And 9 times out of 10, they do, which is good enough for me to put it back in storage. So that way, when they go back out again, my cleaning lady can, you know, sometimes it don't take her but 15 minutes to get them ready to go.
Yeah, that's a good point. I know for me, it helped when we had last minute rentals. But yeah, as long as you have someone that's reliable and available for cleaning for those last minute times, you know, that can be a great way to manage it as well.
Yeah, so my cleaning lady, she actually works full time. So she does mine in the evenings, the nights before they go out, and she'll stay out there till 10, 11 o'clock if need be, if I've got a bunch of them. So, but I try to help her so where she's not staying out too late. But sometimes we've had to, you know, just to get things out the door. Like, we got Talladega coming in 2 weeks and we got 40 units to clean.
How do you manage an event so large like that? I know you do that and some music festivals. Like, what have you found that works well for big events?
I'll be perfectly honest. It requires a team. We just got the Manchester, Tennessee branch now also. So we have Steve and Darlene helping. And then Joe and Gabby in Atlanta. Like, the 6 of us, when we do big events, Talladega is twice a year. There's no way that we could do those events without pooling our resources with those 2 other franchises. It would be next to impossible. And the good thing is we actually stay at those events. We bring on-site mechanics with us in case things break, with spare air conditioners and water pumps and toilet valves and all the things that could break. It's it's a huge muscle movement. We bring extra generators because it's a dry camping event, and portable generators always, pardon my language, but they take a crap on you sometimes. And so now this year, actually this last fall race, we started offering commercial generators thanks to Joe and Gabby's efforts and making a connection with a equipment rental company. And that's making all the difference in the world. I think the last race we ran 17 campers off 5 commercial generators, which is amazing. They're quiet. They don't cause any of the carbon monoxide issues when campers are stuffed together real tight. Mm-hmm. That's one of the problems with big events with dry camping is people just don't have the education with portable generators. And me being an assistant fire chief by trade, you know, that's always worrisome to me because every year these big events, there's people that die. When the race is over, there's 100,000 people camping. And every year so far for the last 5 years, there's been one or two campers where they go knocking on doors and they have an unfortunate thing that they find, and it's usually due to carbon monoxide poisoning. So make sure you check your carbon monoxide detectors, change them every 5 years. There's my safety tip.
Yeah, that's a good point, because most of the people that are renting the RVs, they have no RV experience prior to this. So they don't understand how the systems run, and they don't know the safety aspects that are involved in it.
Yeah, we're really big on that, partially just because that's kind of my wheelhouse. But yeah, every 5 years for carbon monoxide, every 10 for smoke detectors. And we really, really pay attention to that. So if you've got older units, you got to change them out. It's worth the money. It could save a life.
Very good point. Now, I know every day can look different, but what are some of the typical tasks that you do on a day-to-day basis in your RV rental business?
So the biggest time-consuming part, this is one of the things that, you know, I can't wait for my wife to be able to help out with, is doing the bookings. That takes up a lot of time. So I would say the majority of the actual business is going to be a lot of the clerical and admin stuff, making sure that the reservations are right, making sure insurances are right, making sure the payments are right. And then just, you know, the overall booking process, because it can take some time. You know, renters got a lot of questions, and, you know, if we're doing a good job in our due diligence, we're answering them correctly to try to convert those into a sale. So that's typically what eats up the majority of the day. The rest of the time, unless we're really busy, if I've got some lulls in between rentals, that's when I tend to fix like little issues, maybe pieces of trim or whatever, you know, that have fallen off. You know, COVID campers aren't exactly built the best. They were firing those things out of the factories a little too fast with not very good quality control. So we have a lot of issues on these newer units built during COVID that, you know, just shoddy trim work and stuff that needs constant attention. The other day I went into a fifth wheel of ours that I haven't been in 3 months over the winter, and crown molding was just hanging from the ceiling like it hadn't even moved. So, you know, I fill my day checking and making sure these things are prepped, ready to go. The rest of the time, really, when the rentals happen, it's either deliveries or not. Our walkthroughs usually last about 30 to 40 minutes. One thing that I always recommend that the renter does is videotape the walkthrough with me. That saves you as the business owner a lot of time from getting those 10 o'clock in the evening calls when they forget like a step or something is not jiving or not working. So by filming that entire walkthrough process, it gives them something to basically go back and refer to. Now, I know Mike in New York, our branch in New York, he's going to be doing videos on every single camper, basically a walkthrough with a link, which I think is great. And I'm probably going to copy that idea and do that. So that way they just have something to refer to without having to videotape on their own phone.
Yeah, I think that's goals for everyone. It's just finding the time to do that, right?
Yeah. As we scale, one of my drivers is probably going to kind of transition into like my operations manager. That's going to free up a lot of time. It's good for me because he's retired, so he's got basically nothing better to do. He loves this business. A lot of my drivers too, by the way, also have campers in the program. So they love being able to double dip, especially when they're delivering their own camper and getting paid for the rental and for the delivery, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's
good. Good incentive.
Yeah, definitely. And I find that drivers that have their own camper are really helpful. Like that's how we found a lot of our drivers is, meeting people at campgrounds, things like that, because they have the truck and the equipment to tow. They're familiar with the campers to help set it up. So they're a good resource to have.
Yeah, we met a couple in Pensacola last weekend. We were down there visiting some friends, and we went to this little bar restaurant on the beach there and started talking to this couple and actually played a couple games of cornhole with them. And they're full timers in a toy hauler. And the wife is a traveling nurse anesthetist, and the husband's retired from the army. So he was actually looking. So it was perfect being in Pensacola. They're like 30 minutes from our Gulf Shores branch. So I linked up him with them. And so now they've got a fifth wheel and bumper pull driver willing to work. And they haven't decided where they're settling down yet, but they're also very interested in opening a franchise when we got to talk about the opportunity of the franchise. So you just never know who you're going to run into, but it's pretty cool to be able to help out other franchises and also help our company grow by offering them that opportunity as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's always something that I've thought about when we had our large branch in upstate New York is hiring work campers to stay on site and like assist with maintenance and delivery. But it's not something that I ever actually moved forward with. But I think that could be a good outlet as well if people are looking for someone to help them in seasonal areas.
Absolutely. I think you had mentioned also, or maybe I haven't mentioned this yet, about how I pay my drivers.
No,
So,
we haven't talked about that.
oh, we haven't? Okay. Do you want me to cover that?
Yeah, go ahead and tell us. I know you said paying them well so that they'll be reliable. So how do you go about determining what to pay your drivers and then what you charge for delivery based on that?
Right. So I'm kind of higher than everybody else, I think, but to scale the business and keep it growing and to keep reliable people working for you, you got to put some skin in the game for them, because otherwise you're not going to get that. And so my minimums are 300 for travel trailers up to 30 miles, 350 for fifth wheels and drivables, because it either takes a second vehicle or a second person to do that. And after that, we're $7.50 a mile for trailers, $8.50 for drivables and fifth wheels. Now, my drivers get $5 a loaded mile. I don't pay them fuel. I don't pay them to deadhead when they're not under load. So it's $5 a mile under load. And certain events, I tailor that a little bit because, one, the economy is crazy right now and everything's getting super expensive. But I base mine purely off of the cost of diesel. And so if diesel prices are lower, then I lower. Basically, if we'll just say if diesel's at $5 a gallon, I've got a price. Every 50 cent increment that it increases or decreases, I increase or decrease my delivery charge by a dollar. And so what I end up doing, I kind of looked nationally at what Hot Shots make, and they don't do anything for under $4.50 a mile. So I'm giving them about 50 cents more a mile to basically run these loads. They are required to carry some commercial insurance. So that's another reason why I pay them a little bit extra. And we finally here in Alabama found a good carrier through Alpha that's covering them for commercial insurance. That's very reasonable, which is godsend to us, because commercial insurance can be super expensive. So that's how we pay them. And now that extra that I have, that buffer, there's a lot of these big events where, when the delivery's done, we still have more work to do. So like Talladega, basically my guys get paid to drop a camper, set it up, whatever. When that time stops, then that's what they're paid for. Now, if I ask them to do other work we're down there, which I do quite frequently, having that, $2 buffer of what I charge versus what I pay them allows me to have the overhead to pay them $25 an hour for work, right? For setting up other campers, setting up, we've got a lot of big tents and staging areas with generators and moving generators into place and running cable and all this other stuff that needs to be done. So that allows me the overhead to pay them out of that delivery fee to get a lot of that stuff done without coming out of my bottom line. So I. Works for everybody. It works for me. and keeps everybody happy. You know, it's very typical for my delivery drivers when we do a big race like Talladega for them to clear, you know, $2,500 for the weekend, but we're running 16-hour days.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, but that's a pretty good payday.
Yeah, definitely. And just kind of the perks that go along with it, I feel are important too. You know, you get to meet new people. One thing I've always loved about the business is like getting to hear the stories of the people that rented the campers. So just the community that's involved in the RV industry, I think is great as well.
Absolutely. I'm actually working a quote this morning for a 30-day rental for an up-and-coming country music star who's going to be doing a 30-day tour starting on Tuesday. And this just came out of nowhere. And then they're looking for a company now to partner with because they're like not quite famous enough to have a tour bus. So a large Class A is like the next best thing. They've upgraded from Sprinter vans. And so now they're looking at Class A's. And they want to build a relationship with us to have something to count on, you know, for these tours. I got two other, they've got a 50-day and a 60-day tour coming up later this summer. So I'm pretty excited about that. And that's exactly what you're saying. Meeting these kinds of people is awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And I think since you've been in business so long, having that experience is really going to draw people in. I know a lot of people are getting nervous because of the competition that's happening in this industry. But I think being part of a reputable brand and having that experience is what really sets us apart.
You're absolutely right. And that's the biggest takeaway that we've got going for us right now is this brand recognition. And I got to give credit where credit's due, but Joe and Gabby in Atlanta have really pushed this brand far when it comes to racing and NASCAR, what they've been able to do with the race teams. People don't realize it and they don't realize the value. And I think even some of our own branches don't realize the true value. I think Sonia is now that they've hooked up with Daytona. And I talked to that one of the new prospects in Phoenix the other day. And I know Christina in Mesa knows about NASCAR, but like right now, I think today, Gabby's going to call me here in a few minutes. We're negotiating. I'm going to be giving a Class A to Jeff Earnhardt. And she's going to be giving a fifth wheel to Jeff Earnhardt for his race team. And we're negotiating putting the Fireside logo on the front bumper of the car, which 28 million people watch that on TV.
Yeah, that's huge.
So without paying $20,000 for, you know, a sponsored car, if we're able to give two of our consigned units, what we do then is we put insurance on them and then we pay the owner what the owner would have gotten. So there is some out-of-pocket costs. But it sure beats $20,000 and the value that it's bringing to the company as a whole. I mean, it's massive. So they definitely need credit where credit's due. They're the ones that started that. And now I'm kind of, you know, teaming up with them and helping them continue that and carry it forward and take some of the burden off of them, which I'm really grateful to be able to do.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And I think a lot of people don't consider the out of the box marketing that we can do, really finding a niche. I mean, this particular one's NASCAR, but there's horse shows and other sporting events. There's so many things that you can get involved in and create a name for yourself, like music festivals, to get involved with that community of people. And then you're going to just keep getting repeat customers year after year.
Absolutely. That's what I've been doing with the music festivals, with Bonnaroo Music Festival. And now my contract with Rock the Country, which is 7 states and 7 locations. And then, you know, Joe and Gabby are great with the horse shows too. They make, you know, Fireside branded long sleeve shirts for the pickup men for rodeos. When they go in and do the American flag and Pledge of Allegiance and all that, there's a Fireside flag on one of the horses coming into the arena. So yeah, as far as out of box thinking and marketing, Gabby has been really instrumental in that for growing the brand recognition for the company as a whole. I truly believe that. It's amazing. You can go onto a Facebook forum for like Talladega or Daytona and hopefully soon other locations as our company grows. But when somebody asks for an RV rental, the first 15 responses is fireside. And that's happened in the last year and a half.
That's great.
I mean, that's what we want, right?
Yeah.
If we're able to create that kind of level of marketing, you know, without spending a ton of money on marketing, that's organic growth. And people within the race community, they're some of the most loyal people on the planet. Like, you do good by them and treat them right, they're customers for life. And that's one thing I love about it. We've got so many repeat customers now. I would say 90% of our bookings so far this year are direct bookings from repeat customers. Like, whereas before, when we first transitioned in the business, I would get all my leads from Outdoorsy and RV Share. Now our business is really running at probably a 95% return customer business.
So any other tips that you have for people that may just be starting out in the business?
Yes. Don't get discouraged. When you're first starting out, you don't have a lot of metrics and a lot of things to go off of to share with people. So I always make myself available to prospective franchisees or brand new franchisees. When you're talking to a potential client, get on a three-way call with me or anybody in the company. You know, don't stumble. We've got a team now of people that are willing to help. It can be a little daunting because people are going to ask questions you might not have the answers to. And so instead of looking what I would say is dumb, even though you're not dumb, but you know, you don't want to look dumb in front of a potential client because you could lose that client. Just say, hey, you know, I don't have that answer, but let me get somebody in the company that's been doing this longer on the phone with us. And then, you know, maybe we can answer those questions. I just did this for a franchise. I won't say who, but it worked and it landed them the client, which is exactly what we need to be helping each other do. The other thing is, when you're doing your cold calls and your Facebook marketplace trolling, as I like to call it, I did some this morning looking at some diesel pushers. Just know that it's a numbers game, right? It's population driven. For every 10 people you contact, you may get one interested. So you got to go in with the mindset of that. You can't go in and go, man, nobody wants to hear this. Nobody wants to hear this. No, just know in your mind, hey, it's for you or it's not. I'm here to find people that want to make money, right? And you can't get upset about it and don't get discouraged. Just keep pushing and just know for every 10, you might land one. And that's a really, I think, good rule to follow.
Yeah, definitely in business, there's always bumps in the road, but I think just having a positive mindset and not giving up, just keep taking those little steps forward. And one of the great things about being part of Fireside RV Rental is just the community and support that we have with everyone. So it just brings you that much further and faster than if you were trying to doing it on all by yourself.
Yeah, this company is full of some of the greatest people I think I've ever met, which is nice, right? Like, I feel like I can count and trust everybody in the company, which is super cool. You know, if I needed something, somebody's going to be there to help out or, you know, be an ear to hear. So that's a really good thing. You don't always see that in companies. So I definitely like the family type feeling that we've built, that, you know, you and Gar and everybody's built for this. I enjoy it. I love it. It's fun. It's like the most fun, easy way to make money ever.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's why we're all in it. It can be a really great opportunity.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on with me today. I will put all of your information in the show notes. So if someone is looking for an RV rental for some of the big events that you're part of, they can look you up.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.